Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Act like mature men and be courageous. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. The verse that I read at the opening of this episode was taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 to 14. And I'm going to read it now in its fullness from the Amplified Version. And I'm reading this because this is the theme of today's episode. And I pray that it is the theme by which you build upon this year, one of your life verses for this year. And it says, "Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith in God, respecting His precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men or women and be courageous, be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us." And so today we are going to be discussing the three key ingredients to be unwavering in your faith. And it's beautiful because these three key ingredients are summed up in that scripture that I just read from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 to 14. Hey there, She's Marked podcast family. I've got something special for all the gatekeepers and nurturers out there who love filling their homes with faith and rest. I'd like to introduce you to The Marked Store, your go-to destination for soul-strengthening, Christ-centered gifts and goods for the godly woman, her home, and her littles. Listen, ladies, home is where the rest is, and my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart, where the Spirit of God dwells, and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, The Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead. Head over to The Marked Store today at www.markedstore.com, that's M-R-K-D store, and start filling your life with faith love, and rest. Welcome to episode 40. Let's just take a moment to sit with that. I'm so very excited and kind of in disbelief that I'm at episode 40. I know one of the things that they say about podcasts is that usually the majority of podcasts do not get beyond 7 episodes. So to be here at episode 40 is indeed a blessing. And so today, we are going to be talking about the 3 key ingredients you didn't know you needed to be unwavering in your faith. And so I just threw that part in there. I'm sure that if you all have been walking with the Lord, you absolutely know some of these ingredients that I'm going to be talking about today. But in case you forgot, in case things got a little cloudy, a little foggy through the throes of life, we are going to be covering these 3 key ingredients today. And another subtitle, if you will, that I'm going to be calling this episode is Mind Sober, Heart Soft, Feet Planted. There, I just gave you the 3 ingredients. Mind sober, you're going to need a soft heart, and you're going to need those feet to be planted. Now, before we get into those 3 key ingredients that you are going to need in order to be unwavering in your faith, I want to invite you to help me in spreading the word about the She's Mark podcast. In light of the celebration of 40 episodes, I want more women to become aware of this podcast. I have been so tremendously blessed at the conversations that I've had with women over the years and over all those episodes, women that have spoken to me and shared with me what the impact of the podcast has been in their life, how the podcast has spoken to them in times where they were going through exactly what God was saying during that particular episode. And so I'm grateful to see the hand of God moving. This ministry means a lot to me because of the things that I've walked through in my life. And I think of that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that says, He comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. But we go through and we are helped so that we might help those who are going through. And a lot of the content, the essence of the content that I have shared here on the podcast has been birthed from a place of authenticity, genuine authenticity. I mean, firsthand authenticity. Some of it, of course, is in my time in working with human beings, in my background as a biblical counselor, in my way back background, having been a student and degreed in psychology, having worked and studied quite a bit about the mind and human emotions and mental challenges and emotional challenges and issues that we experience. Some has been knowledge-based, but the majority of it has been firsthand experience. Much of it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And it has been victories that I have faced, and it has been trials that I have also faced and walked through. And so I'm just grateful to be able to share and minister from a place of knowing, a place of having been there, done that, lived through it by God's grace. So if you can help me by sharing the word, of course, but if you can also help me by leaving a 5-star rating and a review, I am grateful to the women who have already done that. I hope to be able to share some more of those testimonials, some more of those reviews, but I love to see more. So that is one of my goals for this year is to increase in the ratings and the reviews so that we can really spread the word about what God is doing here in our lives. And let's go ahead and get into it. Now, another thing that I had wanted to share is the Marinate in the Wait journal. I've shared a bit about the Mark store. I will continue to do that. And while I endeavor to leave you all with something that you can hold in your heart through this podcast, I also endeavor to give you something tangible that you can hold in your hands. And so a lot of the products over at the Mark store are just that. I think that one of the products that is ideal for this week is the Marinate in the Wait Signature Quote Journal. I love writing. I have been a writer for some time now. And the Marinate in the Wait Journal is one of my newer products that is 125 pages, 15 of which have signature quotes written by me that women have found to be extremely powerful in their lives. That's some of the feedback that I hear about that journal. And so obviously, as you're doing a lot of reflecting for the new year, this Marinate in the Weight journal is a perfect place to be able to kind of keep all your thoughts in one spot. And also, these three ingredients, this particular quote, which happens to be today's three key ingredients, are also one of the quotes that are listed in the Marinate in the Weight journal: mind sober, heart soft, feet planted. So if you need to keep that reminder in front of you, having the Marinate in the Weight journal is a great way to do that. And so now let's go ahead and get started. As I mentioned, that quote is in the journal. The Lord gave me that quote a few years ago, as I was just kind of creating different things that came to me: mind sober, heart soft, feet planted. I want to say that came to me at the end of 2020. I don't remember the full context of where I was at in my life at that time, but nonetheless, that's when that quote was birthed. And so in order to prepare well for anything in the future, you need to have these three things. And I'm talking about when you are at a place where you want to remain in your faith. Not only do you want to remain, but you want to grow. You want forward motion. You want forward progress. So these three things or ingredients are what I believe to be the most critical components for staying the path and maintaining the right trajectory. When you start on your way in these three key areas, you know without a doubt that you're not only facing the right direction, but you are blessed and favored. Now, before we go on to discuss those three key things, it's important to note, and I think it's important to note that God's hand of blessing and favor will not always look like blessing and favor, especially in the way that we have come to define or what we have been conditioned to believe blessings and favor looks like. We tend to associate that with abundance. We tend to associate it with open doors, you know, and I think that can also be a form of blessing, but it doesn't always look that way. You know, it doesn't necessarily equate to ease. We might also think that blessing and favor somehow equals ease. And so where that can get kind of confusing or where we can become discouraged is when we see our road remain bumpy, when we see our paths continue to be bumpy, we may think, okay, God's blessing is not in this. His blessing is not upon me. His favor is not upon me. And again, it's important to note that that is not necessarily the case. It could be the case, but it's not always necessarily the case. So a few things to note. How will I know if what I'm experiencing is favor from God? So let's say I start implementing these three key areas, Hannah. How will I know if what I'm experiencing down the line into the future is favor from God? The answer to that is, I don't know, ladies. I am not God, but I will suggest the following pointers that I believe will guide you in the right direction. And again, this is if you want to know, let's say you're moving in a certain direction and you need that blessed assurance that you are walking according to God's will. You want to know that His hand is on your life. You need that assurance that you are indeed blessed and favored and heading in the right direction. I would say walking according to sincerity and truth. And we're going to talk more about sincerity and the motives of the heart when we talk about soft heart, when we talk about key ingredient number two, which is a soft heart. I would also say that in the core of that sincerity, the thought or the idea is not my will, but thy will be done. I think when you start noticing a trend of you following after your own will, your own desires, your own needs, your own satisfaction, your own goals, that's a red flag that you are transitioning out of God's favor. The next one I would also say, what does your intimate life look like with God? So let's say, again, you are following these three key steps. You are living according to them, and you want confirmation that all the wonderful things that are now happening in your life are of God, or that you are blessed and favored by God. I would say,
What does your intimate life look like with God? If you are just receiving blessings on blessings on blessings, but there is no intimacy with God, then I think about the scripture that says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that are building it, they that are laboring, they are laboring in vain. Okay. And the last thing to really know if it's favor and blessings from God, I think, is to ask yourself, are you being drawn closer to the Lord, or are you drifting in your heart, the ponderings of your heart, the imaginations of your mind, the words of your mouth, your motives and your whys? Are they drifting toward God, or are they somehow causing you to drift further and further away from Him and further away from the first thing that I stated, which was sincerity and truth? So this was all a little side caveat. We are going to get onto the three key things, but I wanted to go back to what I had stated. When you set in motion these three key areas, you know without a doubt that you are not only facing the right direction, but you are blessed and favored. And I thought it was important to note that blessings and favor does not necessarily always equal abundance and ease. You could be blessed and favored from God and you are experiencing trials and tribulation. Okay. And then I wanted to clarify that if indeed for some reason you're experiencing, you know, what seems to be abundance in all these things, I don't want you to ignorantly go down that path and say, well, because I'm experiencing increase, I must be blessed. I must be favored. I think that in those cases, it can be easy to be confused because the line becomes blurred, particularly if you have been conditioned to believe that blessings always look like abundance or favor always looks like abundance, open doors, you know, just showers of blessings from heaven. Ask yourself those four key things. And now let's get into the three key ingredients. Quickly going back to the blessings and favor. Sometimes, even though we are blessed and favored by God, our life may look very, very opposite of that. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. As he was given dreams of ruling over his siblings and them even bowing to him, the events that followed did not look like favor. These very relatives, his brothers, they hated him. They plotted to kill him. They faked his death. They sold him. He went into a foreign land. He was accused falsely there. He was thrown into prison. None of this looked like blessing. None of this looked like favor as it was happening. But still, God's divine favor and strategy and position was unfolding exactly as they were supposed to. So don't be fooled this year into thinking that any manner of abundance is favor from God. And in the same right, don't scoff too hardly at the hardships that you will face. Let's just clear the air now. We know that we're going to face hardships this year. But don't allow the hardships to derail you in such a way that you become discouraged, you turn back, you let go, you come off of your post. It doesn't mean that God's favor is not upon you. All things are revealed in time. So that brings me to key ingredient number one, mind sober. Your heart goes where your mind flows. So we are going to start by addressing the mind. Your victories and your defeats will take place on the grounds of your mind. The battle is in the mind. Now imagine substances like drugs or alcohol. The more you ingest a substance, either of these substances, the more unsound you become, the more blind you become, the more susceptible to mistakes and danger, the more under the influence you become of that thing, that substance. You drift further and further from logic. You drift further and further from good judgment. You drift further and further from safety. And you drift further and further from yourself. You do things that are out of your character. And in the same right, the more you ingest the word of God into your mind, the opposite happens. So when you are ingesting illegal substances, when you're ingesting dangerous substances, they're pulling you further and further away from the likeness of God. They're pulling you further and further away from even just the likeness of yourself, your natural judgments. But the opposite is true when you deeply, consistently, excessively ingest the word of God. When you are constantly ingesting and overindulging in the word of God, you actually get closer to shore. The sharper your knowledge, insight, and foresight become, you become more sound. And the sounder you become, the more planted and immovable you become. So you don't get more detached from what is safe, what is secure, what is right, what is righteous, like you do when you're ingesting drugs or alcohol, even if you're over ingesting other things that are sinful, not necessarily substances. I just wanted to use that as an example. Those things take you away. They separate. But when you do this with the word of God, you literally move deeper, deeper, deeper within. And God is within us. His fingerprint is on us. We are his. We are made in his image. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is within the world. So we know that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is God, lives within us. Let's get into some life-giving scriptures that confirm and validate and support the necessity of us having a sober mind from which we can lead lives of godliness, holiness, and righteousness. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that was the New Living Translation. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Titus 2:12 says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Matthew 24:42 says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. So a couple things that I draw from those scriptures is that when we are sober in mind, we are self-controlled. We are not ignorant of Satan's designs. We are alert. We're watching. We have a rightful estimation of ourselves, our abilities, where we're at spiritually. We're able to rightly divide that, rightly judge that. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're also filled with peace. I love Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So the sober mind is one that is a mind that trusts in God. And we're constantly being transformed into a new person by the way that we think. So it's important to have a sober mind as we move toward becoming unwavering in our faith. Key number two is heart soft. Surely there are going to be experiences that you'll journey through this year that will tempt your heart toward hardening. Maybe it's offenses that will come. Maybe it's backbiting that will come. Maybe it's betrayal that will come. I certainly pray that those things are not your portion this year. But in the event that they are, they can certainly tempt you toward unforgiveness, toward bitterness, toward fretting, toward anxiety and worry. And with all of that, if it's not checked, if it's not quickly dealt with, if it's not righteously dealt with, if your mind is not sober and you're not self-controlled and where that pain or that response to those things goes, there is a very real temptation to become hardened in your heart. This may happen due to several things. One, in an effort to protect yourself from further suffering, you may close yourself off. You may find it difficult to forgive. You may find it difficult not to lash out. You may find it difficult not to want to repay. You may find it difficult to pray. You may be tempted to step back and step away from God. Also, the letdown or feeling of being forsaken may cause you to be tempted towards hardening your heart. Maybe in the things that will happen this year, you will feel forsaken by God, even though in your heart of hearts, you know that he hasn't forsaken you. Or maybe you may genuinely feel like he has forsaken you. These things can tempt us in one of two ways. They can cause us again to lean toward God. They can cause us to cry out to him, to reach out and grab for him more, or it can cause us to retreat in our pain. But having a soft heart is about maintaining an upright heart. I want you all to really think about that word, upright. Even if there are no real hardships faced this year, significant hardships faced this year, I think one of the plights as believers, as women who are marked, is to constantly seek to have an upright heart or a soft heart. Some scriptures for this, Psalm 24, verses 3-5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Hebrews 3:12-13 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If you were able to tune into episode 39, which aired yesterday, one of the questions that I asked was, are you connected to a body of believers? It is so important to know that as you journey along this life, you cannot do this alone. You need other brothers and sisters in the faith to do exactly what we just read in Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So if you are facing the said challenges and trials that I talked about as I started speaking about heart soft, key number two, and you begin facing the very real, very natural temptation to harden your heart, it's nothing to condemn yourself over. It's part of the human experience when we are faced with discouragement, when we are faced with grief and loss. We naturally will ask God why. We naturally can become downtrodden. We naturally can become despair. But this is where you need the strength of other believers. In episode 37, entitled Unpacking Your Pain, one of the things that I talked about was learning how to suffer well. And one of the components of suffering well is to be able to do so in community. There is a strength that we draw from one another. Aside from the obvious grace, mercy, and strength of the living God, he has made us for community. He has made us for togethering. And there is a strength that we draw from being able to lean on one another. Make it a priority to encourage those that you love, your relatives, your loved ones, and even your brothers and sisters in Christ. Make it a point to encourage them daily. You don't know the walk that everyone is experiencing. You don't know what people are living through and living with. And likewise, find a body, find a circle of people that will encourage you daily so that you will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin is indeed deceitful, and you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart so that it stays soft. So that is component, that is key ingredient number two, a soft heart. And the last key ingredient that you need in order to be unwavering in your faith, and I think this is probably my favorite one, is feet planted. So again, mind sober, heart soft, feet planted. Feet planted is about being anchored, not easily moved or shifted, and set in the proper way or place, immovable, resolute, unshakable, or steadfast. This person is unlikely to drift or shift. They have standability. They are a force. There is assuredness. That's what it means to have your feet planted, so that when the said trials and temptations come, maybe it's not all trials, maybe it's not all hardships, but there will be lures, there will be temptations, there will be enticements, there will be offers, there will be ways that seem easier, there will be paths where the grass seems greener. But when your feet are planted, you are immovable. You're not easily swayed with the wind. You're not easily swayed with the culture. You're not easily swayed with the trends and where the masses are moving. Psalm 18:33 says, "He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights." Psalm 40 verse 2 says, "He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." Psalm 17 verse 5 says, "My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." Habakkuk 3:19 says, "God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." 1 Samuel 2:9 says, "He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail." I love all of those, but I like that last one. When your feet are planted, and they're not planted by anything that you've done, but they're, as you can see from these scriptures, they're planted by God. They're made secure by God. He sets them in their place. He sets them in their mold. It's not by your might or your personal strength that you prevail. It's not by your own determination, but it's by the Spirit of God. So submitting your mind to Him, your mind is sober, you're self-controlled, your heart is soft. I forgot to mention with the softness of heart, when your heart is soft, you are inclined to be obedient to God. You're inclined to allow Him to mold you, to lead you. He can work with a heart that is soft because it's moldable. And when your feet are planted, God sets you on the path that you are to go in. When you have these three key components, you become unwavering. I pray that this has helped you all today. Again, you can find this quote within the Marinate in the Wheat journal that is on the Marked Store website. My prayer for you this year is that your mind will remain sober, your heart will remain soft, and your feet will remain planted. Until next time. Dear listener, your support means everything. And without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmarked.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears His seal, belongs to Him,
and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.